The New York Yankees just completed a crazy stretch in which they played 19 games in just 17 days. We'll break down the entire stretch, look at the team's last series against the Cleveland Indians, discuss the recent issues with umpires, and also look ahead to the team's West Coast trip. That and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now. Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We are very, very excited for this podcast episode, episode number 41 that we have recorded. But this episode's a little more special as we are recording for the first time in a new location. Yes, that's right. We are still live in Garfield, New Jersey. However, we have a little bit of a bigger setup now. Thanks to a little re-renovation process, we're able to find some room to create our podcast moving forward. It's a bigger space, a lot more time for us to work our magic, and we're very excited about this opportunity. So you guys could check it out. We will post some photos of our new setup on social media. We got a lot of cool sports memorabilia around it. I think you guys will definitely enjoy it. Speaking of social media, you can find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. That's the account of the podcast. Then you can find my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Make sure you hit me up. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on the conversation. Yankee Twitter has been lit recently. We love being a part of it. We hope that you guys join in and make it even better. Also, find us on Facebook at Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Like the page up on there. The more feedback, the better. Share the link with your friends. Let them join in on the conversation as well. If you're listening to this podcast, you already know how to find our show. However, if you're looking for another outlet, the Pinstripe Talk podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. If you're somebody with an iPhone, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. If you're not somebody with an iPhone, find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, our show's there available for you. We hope you take advantage of all the outlets that we have in store for you. And as we keep moving on, the Yankees are playing good baseball. The postseason is coming up shortly. We hope that you continue to listen to our show for all the latest news, updates, and just Pinstripe Talk about the Yankees, because there's going to be a lot coming down the stretch, and it's an exciting time to be a Yankee fan. We're definitely hyped up for the postseason run, and we can't wait to see just how this Yankee team does come October. A lot left to be determined in the regular season. The Yankees just finished a streak in which they played 19 games in 17 days. Yes, 19 games in just 17 days. But as you'll realize later in the show, Yankees did really well during that stretch of games. We'll break that down. We're going to look into the Cleveland Indians series. The Yankees split 2-4 with the Cleveland Indians, a team that they might possibly see come the postseason. We'll talk about that series a little bit. And we'll also take a look at the upcoming road trip on the West Coast for the Bronx Bombers. And we'll talk about some other news that's surrounding the team as well. Before we get into the Yankees' recent streak of games and looking ahead toward our show, there is something that I forgot to mention last show. As number one, I was very excited it was show number 40, so I wanted to talk a little bit about that and how that's impacted us. And also, it was a little bit of a longer wait period between shows. We were a little delayed last week. Our show came on Thursday instead of Tuesday, so we had a little catching up to do, so it kind of got lost in the shuffle. However, this is pretty big news for the Yankees. 2020 regular season schedule has been released, and it was announced that the Yankees will be traveling to Iowa to play the Chicago White Sox in a one game there in kind of like a Field of Dreams setup, and Major League Baseball trying different things to try to get fans involved and get fans interested in the game. And we've seen it, the Little League Classic, You have the teams going to London. We saw the Yankees travel there earlier in the year. A couple of series in other countries. They're trying to expand the game, and they're trying to expand the game's horizons. And I think that they're doing a nice job at that. When I first saw this, I was pretty hyped up because I love the movie Field of Dreams. I think it's a great movie. And I thought it was a really cool spin that Major League Baseball put into the equation. You know, they're trying different things. They're trying to make the game more appealing to kids and to people of all different ages. And I think that this is going to be a cool way to do that. The one game is kind of confusing to me. I don't know if just for one game it's worth it. I would have probably done a series. However, I think that this is a nice start for baseball, and I'm pretty sure that they'll try to expand on it if this is something that becomes a cool feature that fans start to embrace and start to like. I like the Little League World Series, how the players go and they interact with the kids. I think that it gives the kids an opportunity that they might not have at home, especially for the international side of things. You know, these kids are coming to the United States, most of them for the first time ever, maybe the only time they will ever be in the States. And to get a chance to interact with some Major League players and to talk to them and to hang out with them, that's a really cool thing that Major League Baseball put into play. Same with London, the London series. A lot of people went down there. There were complaints about some of the gameplay, that the games were a little out of hand in terms of runs and everything. But again, the stadiums were packed each game that they played. And I'm sure it's going to be packed next year when they go as well. And when you're going to Iowa, you're doing something for the first time. The Yankees are the perfect team to send down there because they are the brand name in baseball. They are going to attract fans. Heck, if I could get down there, I want to go to Iowa. If those ticket prices aren't extremely high, I'll be making the trip, definitely. I think that's an awesome thing. I want to see it firsthand. Heck, I was very close to going to London. I was trying to convince my family to go to London this year, but, you know, things happen. Everything's going busy and hectic, so I couldn't get down there. But this is something that's cool. Major League Baseball is trying. You know, you got to give them credit for trying to make the game better. Yes, as we'll talk about later in the show, there are things that they need to work on, including the umpire situation. That's something that definitely needs to be addressed. But I give credit to Major League Baseball for thinking outside the box and coming up with this idea. And I hope that it becomes something that definitely fans embrace, because I think it could be very valuable for baseball to bring the sport to a state where there's not so much for baseball to offer. You might be able to attract fans based on the fact that you're playing a series there once or maybe even twice a year down the road. So I think it's cool. I like the idea. I can't wait to see the Yankees play in this first installment at the Field of Dreams field come August 13, 2020. We all know how long a baseball season really is. 162 games. You start the season in February from spring training. Some teams have the blessing of going into November to play. You know, it's a long season for these guys. And anytime that you have a long stretch of games, it does play a toll on you. And the Yankees recently had a stretch of games in which they were scheduled to play 17 games in 17 days. However, as we all know, the Yankees have been hampered by rain this season. It seems like a lot of times they've had rain delays or even postponements. So it ended up being that the Yankees now had this stretch where they didn't have an off day and were playing on every single day, and now had to play two doubleheaders in that mix. And to be honest with you, the Yankees did a really nice job during this stretch. And we're going to break down the stretch a little bit before we head into the final series of it, which just wrapped up against the Cleveland Indians. It started on August 2nd. The Yankees opened up a four-game set against the Boston Red Sox. And this was a big series for them. We talked about it on a couple of shows earlier. The Yankees swept that series. One of those days, on August 3rd, they ended up playing a doubleheader. The one game was a makeup from May 30th. So the Yankees take care of one of their bigger division rivals and really knocked them out of playoff contention, especially in terms of the American League East division. Then from August 5th to the 7th, the Yankees sweep the Baltimore Orioles in a series in which a lot of people expected them to sweep. Baltimore is having a terrible year. Baltimore in general is a terrible baseball team. Yankees take advantage of that. The Yankees head to Toronto from August 8th to the 11th. They split with the Blue Jays. Yeah, you would have liked to have seen them win the series there. However, they do bounce back after losing the two middle games of the series and end up tying the series and at least leaving Toronto with a split. You can live with that. Then they come back to the Bronx and they get the Orioles again. The first night of that series was a doubleheader. Yankees win both of those games, end up winning the series as well. They sweep that four-game set. Then they had the Cleveland Indians. And the Indians roll into town. We're going to break down each game a little bit later on in the show. They lose the first game, which was absolutely atrocious. They win the next two, which were close games. They lose the series finale. And that caps off your 19-game stretch. In that stretch, Yankees go 15-4, in case you couldn't keep track when I was talking about the different series. Average 6.7 runs a game. Hit 290 as a team. 47 home runs, which basically matches up to 2.5 a game. 576 slugging. The team ERA was a little high at 5.17, but, you know, we'll take it. In a stretch like that, you can't ask for more from this Yankee team. Obviously, every team wants to go 19-0. You'd be a fool not to say it. However, you're not doing that. Teams are going to lose games over a 162-game stretch. I don't care how good you are. Every team does suffer their losses. But the Yankees did a great job of coming out of this stretch with a very positive win total. And over the span of a season, the Yankees are competing for home field advantage. Wins like these are very important, especially when you can win games against your division. It really pays off when you could beat up on teams that you are better than. And the Yankees did a fine job of doing that, especially with the West Coast trip coming up. It's not an easy trip to go on, but give the Yankees a lot of credit for taking care of business during this stretch, a stretch that could have been really ugly considering how many guys are injured and how the team has had to shuffle guys in and out to fill the voids. It's a long season. One stretch is not going to make or break you, but it could make a major impact. And this is one of those stretches where if the Yankees end up winning home field advantage in the American League and possibly in Major League Baseball, you could look back and say, you know what? That was a big stretch for them. That really helped turn the corner. That was really a focal point for this team during the season. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to break down the Indian series, a series in which the Yankees split 2 out of 4. We'll break down that series. A couple of key components that did occur during that four-game span. All that and more here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We'll be right back right after a quick commercial break. And we're back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Let's take a look at that four-game series against the Cleveland Indians. And let's start with game one. And boy, was it ugly. Yankees go into the series. You're confident Yankees playing good baseball. And Cleveland comes in and gives them a quick punch in the mouth. Chad Green, the opener, starts the game. Only gets one out. Allows 5 runs. It was just ugly. It was 7-1 after the first inning. Ended up being 19-5. I don't want to get into the specifics. Seemed like everybody from the Indians had a hit in that ball game. The Yankees could have scored 3 touchdowns and they still would have had a close game. Green, not good. Loaisiga in his return, not good. Chance Adams, continuously, not good. Cortez comes in for one to get one out. And then Mike Ford, the position player pitching, comes in for 2 innings. He allows 5 runs. Nobody expected Mike Ford to get many outs. He had a great old time, but the Yankees lose the ball game. Just an ugly, ugly game. And right when everybody was thinking, you know, the opener could be a valid option in the playoffs, Chad Green gives a little bit of a concern. What I would like to say to those people is you need to relax a little bit. And look, it was a bad start for Green. He didn't have it. He admitted after the game that he didn't have it. It just wasn't there. However, I believe it's 11 opening starts he's had, and the Yankees are, what, 9-2 in those games? It's still a legitimate option down the stretch, and you have to look at it and say to yourself, you know, Green's been effective for the most part in that role. A lot could change over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure the Yankees are going to use it again and again. They're going to keep trying it, and we'll see how Green is able to hold up. I'm sure that the Yankees are not worried by that one bad start. It happens. It's baseball. Don't read too much into it. Yeah, does it concern you? Obviously, it does. Green didn't look as effective as he has. But to write it off completely, I think, is the wrong way to look at it. I think that you have to give it a chance. I think that if it's the best option for the Yankees in the playoffs, they're going to use it. They're going to implement it into their strategy. It's too early to tell if it's going to play a factor or not. We still have a lot of baseball left. And it's going to determine what the roster is going to look like. Luis Severino threw off a mound, finally. Looks like he'll be back in the near future. Dellin Betances is making progress as well. The Yankees look to add him to the bullpen. You add those two guys, a lot could change down the stretch. And you're going to have guys that look good. You're going to have guys that struggle. Right now, Masahiro Tanaka looks really good on the mound. Paxton's been okay. Jay Happ's been atrocious. But a lot could change over the next couple of weeks. Don't write off the opener just yet. Give it a chance. I'm sure Chad Green will bounce back. And if he does, it's a viable weapon for the Yankees moving forward, especially if you could get Loaisiga going for a 2 to 3 inning type of guy. He's got electric stuff. I think that first outing back on the mound was a little bit much. You know, you come into a deficit, a lot of pressure on you to try to hold the lead or their lead to what it was. And I just think that he'll be better as well. I completely give up hope on Chance Adams. I really do. I'm not going to lie about that. I just think that he doesn't belong in the big leagues. And, you know, every opportunity he gets, it seems like he just struggles. The Yankees were hesitant to trade him in the past, or they tried to trade him and couldn't. And you could just tell that he's not the guy that they thought he would be. But, again, don't read too much into one game. And this Yankee team, as you'll see in the next couple of games, you know, they didn't let that rattle them. They didn't let that big blowout really get to them. And that's the key. Good teams bounce back from ugly losses. And the Yankees were able to do that in games 2 and 3 of this series. Game 2 and 3, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, were a whole different feel than that game 1. The Yankees sent out Masahiro Tanaka to stop the bleeding. And after his tremendous start against the Toronto Blue Jays, he was good once again. 6 1/3, allowed 4 hits, 2 runs, only 83 pitches, was very efficient. Could have probably pitched longer into the game, but Aaron Boone was smart to go to the bullpen, let them close it out. Canley to Britton to Chapman for the save. Yankees win the game 3-2. And it was just a great win for them because after that ugly loss on Thursday night, this team bounced back and didn't let it affect them. They came to the ballpark ready to win the game. That was in the past. It was over. And that's what good teams are able to do. They don't let one game affect them down a long stretch. If you let one game affect you, it could have a rippling effect. And the Yankees didn't allow that to happen, which is why they were able to take the 3-2 win on that Friday night game in the second game. They go into game 3. That's a Saturday afternoon contest. You had the Mariano Rivera Hall of Fame ceremony at the stadium. A great ceremony for the greatest closer of all time. Great for the Yankees to honor him and for the fans to see that. The first unanimous voted in player into baseball's Hall of Fame, which I think is still amazingly cool, especially given that I grew up watching Rivera, as a lot of you have done as well, and it's just really cool to see such a great guy receive such a great honor from baseball, especially from the Yankees. Yankees go into this game with Paxton on the mound. Paxton goes 5 innings. He was decent. A couple of strike calls here and there kind of hurt him that he didn't get the call, and the Yankees go on to win that game 6-5, but it was a little bit ugly come the sixth inning. Yankees had a couple of ejections in the ballgame. Let's break it down for you. Cameron Maybin gets called out on strikes. He's not happy with the call. He heads back into the dugout. He continues to chirp at the home plate umpire. Home plate umpire, hearing it from Aaron Boone as well, tosses Boone out of the game. He goes, and he's upset with what is going on with his players. Maybin still chirping, and all of a sudden, it begins to spiral. All of a sudden, you see Brett Gardner get ejected. Brett Gardner, who was banging his bat against the top of the dugout, he gets ejected. He wasn't saying much, but the umpires ejected him from the game for his actions in the dugout. A little while later, CC Sabathia gets the hook as well. He was on the injured list. He goes onto the field. I'm sure there are going to be repercussions from that. However, the issue at hand is we see so many issues with the umpires recently, and it's not just the Yankees. I feel like the Yankees argue with the umpires a lot. There's a lot of issues, especially if you watch Aaron Judge's at-bats. Aaron Judge gets a lot of strike calls that aren't strikes. And I'm going to see this from both sides of the spectrum. As somebody who has umpired games, I know that umpires are human. I'm saying aren't human. Crazy, right? Umpires are human. They are capable of making mistakes. They are flawed. So you expect that there are going to be times where you're not going to agree with a call or they make a bad call. It's part of the game. However, it's becoming a little tedious that umpires are kind of looking for issues by staring into the dugout. If you watch John Boy's reaction post, if you go on social media, I'm sure you find it, you could see that the home plate umpire is staring into the Yankees dugout looking for an issue. And Phil Cuzzi, the first base umpire, runs next to the Yankee dugout to eject Gardner from the game. So these umpires are looking for issues. This is not their game. They're there to umpire the game. They're not there to take the spotlight. They should be doing their job. Yes, arguing with the umpire is something that you don't want to allow to escalate. Because if you allow it to keep going, it only gets worse. And I don't blame them for ejecting Boone for arguing calls. But I think that the Yankees, in the same token, have to pick and choose their spots. It seems like there's a target on the Yankees' back because of how much they have been arguing with the umpires. Is it right? No. But I do think they need to tone it down. Aaron Boone is out there for his guys. He will defend his guys till the last out. He'll do whatever he has to help defend his players. However, after a while, you have to pick and choose. You have to pick and choose your spots. I really just think that they have to take a step back and they have to realize, you know, this isn't working. This approach isn't working. Major League Baseball has to do something about this issue. Don't get me wrong. But I think that the Yankees have to alter their ways as well. Brett Gardner, twice now, got ejected when the Yankees were trying to give Aaron Judge a full day off. Luckily, Thyroe Estrada was able to play right field and Judge wasn't needed in the game. But Gardner getting ejected doesn't help the team. And Gardner's actions in the dugout don't help the team. Yes, they're hilariously funny. I think it's great that Gardner bangs on the top of the dugout with his bat and that he's vocal and he wants to be a leader on this team. But as a leader, you also have to set the example and kind of set the tone for what this team needs. And they need him on the field. They need him in the locker room. They need him in the clubhouse. They need him in the dugout. They don't need him getting ejected and causing more chaos for the team. And I think that there's a fine line between what Gardner's doing and what he needs to do as a leader of this team. And, you know, and I get Gardner's frustration. I really do. But in a situation where he wasn't even involved in the strikeout, you know, you have to kind of tone it down. Because now that they see the actions, they're going to look for it even more. And breakdowns like John Boy's, they point them out. And these umpires see them. Major League Baseball sees them. It's part of life. You know, John Boy went viral with his posts. And you know what? They're entertaining. They make baseball fans interested. They make fans interested. They make people interested in the game. And they're good for the game. But they also put a target on guys. And now these umpires know what to look for. You know, he's done it before. He does it on a regular basis. Now, you know, it's something that it's a fine line both ways. And I hope that Major League Baseball sits down and, number one, I hope that they give John Boy full authority to work on these videos because they're absolutely amazing. I think that they're great. I watch every single breakdown. The way that he breaks them down, and it's funny. It's a good way for the fans to get involved in the game. And I get what Major League Baseball is saying, you know, the umpires and what they're saying on the field, and it's a two-way street. But these are grown men. They could control their actions. So don't tell me that this is bad for the game when you're attracting fans. These teams don't have a problem with it by selling merchandise. I can't even tell you how many Savages in the Box shirts I've seen since that incident occurred. So before they start saying, you know what, it's not good for the game, look at it from a revenue standpoint. It's making business boom. And that's what you want. Worry about fixing what's going on with these umpires. Figure out a solution where we're going to get a consistent strike zone and we're going to figure out what's a strike and what's not. And get rid of the boxes on the screen because they're only causing more problems. If that's not your universal strike zone, don't have it up there because that's what fans are seeing as strikes. If it's not in the strike zone, they're seeing it as a ball. You're leading fans in the wrong direction. And that is what they should be focused on. That is the thing that really stands out to me and frustrates me as somebody who watches multiple games a day. I want them to fix the real issues at hand. Not the ones that bring fans into the game and bring fans to spark their interest, like somebody like John Boy. Fix the problems that are legitimate problems. And let these people who are absolutely busting their butt keep doing what they're doing, because it's a really great thing for baseball. I think that baseball is looking at this in the wrong way. Joe Torre, please don't defend your umpires anymore. You know, watch from both sides. Yes, Gardner wrong? Absolutely. CeCe wrong? Yep. Boone, you got it. But in the same token, your umpires are out looking for an argument, and they're looking for problems. And that is not cool with me. That is something that I definitely don't agree with. Let's get off the talk about the umpires, and let's head over to Game 4. Yankees get absolutely dominated in this one. Mike Clevinger, only 5 innings pitched. Yankees did a good job of eating his pitch count, but still 10 strikeouts. That slider, man, unbelievable. Nice moving pitch there. CeCe returns from the injured list, and like we expected, CeCe really doesn't give him much. 3 innings, allowed 4 runs. Really didn't look too good. But again, Cortez comes in. He stinks up the joint. Sessa, once again, he doesn't look too great as well. Sessa had a really good stretch there where he didn't allow a run. We were talking about him a couple of shows earlier. But again, he's a guy that I think that his time is really running out. He really doesn't make sense for this team down the stretch, especially come the postseason. Yankees are going to have some tough decisions. But I don't think Sessa is somebody who will make the Yankees 25-man roster come October. I just don't see it. And you could say what you want about Cortez. I don't know if he makes it as well. Really depends on what happens with Severino and Herman. Yankees say there's no limits to Herman's inning limit in the postseason, but the Yankees could look to use him in a type of opener role where he comes in out of the pen and throws 3 or 4 innings before turning it over to the real deep part of the bullpen. Yankees end that stretch 15-4. They had the nice off day yesterday, and now they are heading to the West Coast, and they'll have a really tough schedule on the West Coast. They play 9 games in 9 days. They start off with 3 in Oakland, which begins tonight, a 10:07 start. Then they go to LA for a 3-game set. That's always a great series. This could be a World Series preview. 2 of the best teams in baseball. They'll be wearing the players' weekend jerseys, which I'm not really a fan of. I'm not a fan of the black and white. However, baseball thinks it's fun. They think it's a good way to get the fans involved. Players get to wear their nicknames on the back. Yippee-ki-yay, let's make some more money. I'm okay with it. It is what it is. But as a true baseball fan, I would love to see the Yankees wear their normal jerseys, Dodgers in theirs, especially with such a historic pass between the two. And then the Yankees have 3 in Seattle against the Mariners. Mariners, who started off their season 11-2, are basically out of the race as well. So, you know, you can't underestimate these games on the West Coast, because they are something that you have to take seriously. But it's a stretch of games where the Yankees are going to be challenged. And, you know, this is going to be a real test. And hopefully the Yankees are up to that challenge moving forward before they come back to the Bronx to begin the month of September. That's going to wrap up today's show. Our first show in our new location is set, is finalized. It's awesome to be down here. It's so nice to have extra room to walk around and do my thing and not be bothered by noise. It's amazing. It's great. It's fantastic. Again, I will post pictures of it for you. I got a lot of cool memorabilia down here, so I'm sure you'll want to see it. Go to our Twitter account at Pinstripe Talk ND to check that out. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty if you just want to talk some Yankee baseball. Send us some thoughts. We'll talk about your thoughts on our next show next week. Also, feel free to email us pinstripetalk@gmail.com. If you're not big on social media, you can still email us. We love to hear all your thoughts regarding the New York Yankees. We're also live on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast, available on all streaming platforms. Apple Podcasts is the big one. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. All feedback is appreciated. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, all those. Our show is on there, available for you. If you want to help support our show, buy a t-shirt. Go to Teespring. Our link is on our social media accounts. Go buy some t-shirts. Wear the shirts. Share them with your friends. Let them wear it. Any promotion is great promotion. We appreciate all the support we get from that. Any proceeds that we do make from those shirts go directly toward our show. So help us support the podcast, help our podcast grow. It's growing by the day. Make sure you jump in on the movement. You could say that you were on the movement before the movement got cool. That's what you want to be, joining on that movement. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. As always, thank you for taking some time to listen to us rant about the New York Yankees. We're excited for the upcoming West Coast trip, and we'll break it down for you on our next show next week. All that and more here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Let's go, Yankees. We'll catch you next time.